Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Good evening. I don't know. It's 10 o'clock evening. Good evening. Good night. Good day, depending on what time you're reading this. Sheepdogs, welcome back to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is still our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our what used to be weekly and then turned into monthly. And now I guess we're at semi-annually ruthless pursuit of freedom, broadcasting live from the extraordinarily well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. As always, as it was then and as it is now, it's my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest with a face for radio and a voice for silent movies. My name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well-Armed Radio. And just I continue to be a free man trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism. Encourage you to be a part of the show. If you'd like, by calling 563-999-3787, 563-999-3787. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And it's good to be back with you. I think my last show was in September. And then, so what's happened since September? Well, part of it I'll blame on being busy. And then in November, I got super sick. I guess I'll tell that story real quick. So I wasn't feeling good. Had just I had the glands in your groin. So they were swollen. I'm like, okay, that usually means you got some kind of infection going on. Sometimes you bite your cheek and then you get a little infection, canker or whatever, and the glands in your neck get sore. So anyway, so I got a the glands in my groin are sore and I'm like, okay, something's going on here. I coincidentally had an appointment to have a first visit with a primary care doctor, And I guess this goes into one of my topics tonight I was going to talk about. I might as well just wrap it in. I was going to talk about mass medicine. And so I go to the doctor. So I had this previously scheduled appointment that had been made like a month or two in advance, just because I have to establish care with a primary care physician. Over the summer, I got on my fiance's insurance as a domestic partner. So I used to not have health insurance, and I had a direct care where you pay like $60 a month and you're a member of a healthcare organization. There's basically like a doctor that runs it and PAs that handle stuff, and you can go see them for office visits as much as you need, as much as you want. And it actually is a really good service. I was very happy with them, but I mean, well, shit, I'm like, now I got insurance. I might as well get a regular old fashioned primary care doctor. So I went to the one that I won't say her name. I went to one my fiance used. It's a female. She was happy with them. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. So I start seeing, I go in. So I got this swollen glands in my groin. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably some kind of infection. So I tell her, hey, I was just previously just coming in just to get established care. But by the way, I've got really swollen, sore glands in my groin. And it kind of, you know, it's making my testicles ache, make my nuts ache. Anyway, so she kind of pokes around a little bit, feels it. And she's like, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's nothing. By the way, you're overdue for your tetanus booster. And, you know, do you want the COVID shot? You want the, she didn't call it the COVID shot. Do you want the, maybe she called the COVID shot. Do you want the COVID-19 shot or the flu shot? I used to get the flu shot every year. And after seeing all the bullshit with the COVID shot and the lies and everything, I was like, you know what? Never got the COVID shot. Not going to get a flu shot anymore. And the funny thing was, the reason I started getting the flu shot was because I got the flu really bad one year, probably in, I think it was 2005. And I was so sick. I mean, I was like, man, I never want to get that again. So I started getting the flu shot, and then, I would still get the flu every single year. And I used to not get the flu every year. But I was like, well, whatever. But they say, oh, but if you get the flu shot, then it won't be as bad. You know, it wouldn't be as bad as it otherwise would be. And just with a lot more research that I do and paying attention during the COVID stuff and seeing how realizing that Big Pharma, I never thought they were, as anybody that's doing business, they're biased. But these people are just absolute lying sacks of shit, lack of a better way to describe it. I mean, I don't believe a thing coming out of a pharmaceutical company's mouth, not one thing. I believe that these pharmaceutical companies, they're not trying to cure anything anymore. Give you an example. Look at, if you've seen these TV commercials for that AIDS drug, I don't know what it is, but it can keep you undetectable. All these years, all these billions and whatever dollars spent and all this stuff. And they now have an AIDS drug that can keep you undetectable. So they can beat this virus down so that you're undetectable if you keep taking the pill that they get this drug forever, which probably costs a bajillion dollars. And it's just so clear to me. I mean, I think the golden age of medicine was probably like the 50s and 60s with like the polio vaccines that actually worked. And then, you know, since then, and you know, the anti-vax folks will be like, oh, that's not good. So I don't know about all the other vaccines for everything else that you know we got as I say we. I'm 49 years old. Us Gen Xers got when we were kids. Were they harmful? Not so. Some, I mean, maybe some of them were good. Maybe not. I mean, but look at polio. Clearly, the polio vaccine worked. I mean, it did what it said it was going to do. COVID shot didn't. It did what they wanted it to do, which was make pharmaceutical companies richer and richer. But it really exposed the bullshit. So I don't believe in the flu shot anymore. I'm not going to get the flu shot anymore. And amazingly, when I stopped getting a flu shot, I didn't get sick at all last year. The first year that I didn't get the flu shot. I think I still got the flu shot. So 2020 was COVID. I got the flu shot in the fall of 2020 still. I think maybe in 2021 I got a flu shot again. But 2022 I did not. And then 2023 I did not get the flu shot. Didn't get the flu either. I got the flu single year when I got the flu shot. Always got the flu. And honestly, I didn't even think, and I did, because then some years it turned into pneumonia and stuff. So I don't feel like it was even milder. I was reading some stuff about how they say, look, the reason that it's called negative efficacy. The reason you get negative efficacy with vaccines is because it's like the flu shot. if your body can only produce so many, the reason your body doesn't keep antibodies in your blood all the time for everything is because your blood, I forget if it was be too thick or too thin. I can't remember. It was one or the other. But all these antibodies would either, again, it's either thick or thin your blood. This was, I watched this from a doctor. But so your body makes it while in the short term when you were exposed to something. And then after whatever, 30 days or whatever, it's your body withdraws, stops making those antibodies. Now your T cells or whatever, they still remember the sickness so that they can produce those antibodies quicker. They recognize, they'll recognize the infection real quick again because you've had it before, and it's in all of your cells in your body, so you very quickly recognize it. You don't get, you know. But when you take a vaccine for something that you don't have, your body's creating antibodies, and your body can only create so many antibodies at one time for so many things. So then you get a vaccine for something you're not actually exposed to. And then if you actually get exposed to something, you're less able to handle that because your body was busy making antibodies for what you weren't really exposed to, which the vaccine just triggered an immune response for. So back to my visit at the doctor's office. So I feel like I got something going on. She wants to shove the flu shot, the COVID shot. I said hell no to the COVID shot and no to the flu shot. And then tetanus booster. I've had the tetanus booster in the past in my life. I've had tetanus shots. So I was like, you know, I cut myself a ton. We go hiking. We're jumping across fences here and there. I cut myself on this and that. You know, I'll get the tetanus booster. Just it's been, you know, over 10 years since I'll get the tetanus booster. But I said to her, I said, you know, are you supposed to get a vaccine when you're like, I'm clearly fighting something. And she's like, I'm not worried about it. She said, this is what the doctor said. I'm not worried about it. I'm sure it's nothing or something like that. You know, just keep an eye on it. And do you want to get your vaccine? Is that so? Again, so I'm like, are you sure I should get a vaccine when I'm fighting? Oh, it'll be fine. I said, okay. So I get the tetanus booster. Well, what they don't tell you, the tetanus booster, it's DTaP. It's tetanus, pertussis. It's a cocktail vaccine. Pertussis is whooping cough. So they tell you you're getting a tetanus booster, and they put the whooping cough vaccine in there. I was so pissed. So I leave and I see on the little form a DTaP, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And again, it's pertussis and whooping cough, or pertussis and whooping cough, but there's something else. I forget what the other ones that go into DTaP, and I could Google it quick, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, all I really wanted was the tetanus, and you know, even questioned if I should say yes to that or not, but I definitely would have said no to the whooping cough vaccine. Anyway, get that. That's a Wednesday. Get the DTaP tetanus booster, which with pertussis and whatever the other cocktail vaccines in there. I was so sick the next, I felt like I got hit by a truck the next day. Fever, just felt horrible. And then my groin got worse. This is the glands in my groin. My freaking balls were aching. And then long story short, by Sunday, I had a terrible fever. My groin hurt super bad. And so I go to the ER because I felt horrible. And at the ER, they quickly diagnosed me with epididymitis. It's an infection of the epididymis of your fucking scrotum. How do you get it? I've read like you could have a bladder infection that goes untreated and then it can get down into your freaking testicle. So that's what, probably TMI, but I don't care. So on Sunday, I run in a crazy fever. My freaking nuts swelled up like crazy. And the doctor at the ER says, you know, you waited way too long to come in. Well, on Wednesday, I go to my primary care doctor and she says she's not worried about it. Oh, do you want a vaccine? Shoves a vaccine down my throat. Shoves a vaccine to my arm. And now on Sunday, I'm at the ER and they're telling me I waited way too long to come in. Puts me on antibiotics, go home, you know, and then wasn't getting better. So meanwhile, by Thursday, I'm back in the ER, still had a fever. We thought maybe I was going septic, you know, end up getting admitted to the hospital. So then I'm on IV antibiotics. I hated to be in the hospital, and it was just miserable. So I asked to be discharged, and then I was go in. I had to go in every day for 10 days, go into the outpatient, sit down, and they put an IV into your arm for 20 minutes or whatever, and to run this IV antibiotics. Just didn't get better. Felt horrible. I mean, I was so drained. Fever every day. I had a fever for like 21 days. So I was just super sick. That took me through like most of November. From November 1st was my birthday. I forget what day my birthday was on, but I think I got sick a couple days before my birthday. And so here's what I think happened. I think I had a bladder infection. Didn't really know / didn't get it treated. Get this freaking epididymitis. Then when I go to the doctor, you know, your body is trying to fight off that early stage infection, and then she shoves a vaccine in my arm, and then your body's fighting off that, which again, your body can't fight a bajillion different things all at once. So I'm fighting off an infection that I don't have from the vaccine, and the infection that I did have runs rampant. That's what I think happened, because I got way worse after I got the vaccine. Anyway, nobody will admit it. Nobody will say, yeah, that she shouldn't have done it. I brought it up to every doctor I saw. Of the 4, 5, 6 different doctors I saw when I was in the hospital, that, yeah, there's what, and no one was willing to say, yeah, she shouldn't have given you a vaccine when you're sick. But I mean, isn't that common sense? You don't get a vaccine when you're sick. And I asked her about it. Anyway, so needless to say, never see that doctor again. I feel like this is one of the topics I have for tonight. This is just mass medicine. Like, they don't care about you as an individual. They probably have protocols. I don't feel like anybody even practices medicine anymore, these doctors. Maybe there's a researcher somewhere, someplace that does. But honestly, those researchers someplace, somewhere, probably in university or stuff, that's all funded by drug companies, even in universities. So I feel like these doctors, they just follow protocols. These protocols are arrived at from research funded by drug companies. And this corporate medicine, it's more about hitting benchmarks. So they probably get some kind of bonus if X percent of their patient base gets these vaccines, which are whatever vaccines, between the tetanus and the flu shot, whatever they can shove in your arm. They probably get benchmarks. That's probably how they rate their success. Oh, we vaccinated 80% of our client or of our patient base. You know, I don't feel like anybody cares about the individual. And it's sick and disgusting because America used to have a great healthcare system, best healthcare system in the world. No way. Between COVID and everything else, my faith in the healthcare system has gone to almost zero. When it comes to most things, I mean, obviously, I think like some orthopedic stuff, like I had tore my rotator cuff. The guy did a great job. You know, these hip replacements and stuff, people have great. So, I mean, stuff like that, I think, you know, I still have some faith in medicine. But everything from, you know, like now they're trying, people are taking this Ozempic to lose weight, even people that aren't diabetic. I mean, and I've read and seen, watch interviews, that stuff just destroys your digestive, because people don't want to exercise and stay active and take a pill. It's going to F up your GI mess. I mean, just do I was on Nexium for like 19 years. That shit's horrible for you, but it was easy for the doctor to say, and it worked. So I was like, okay. But it was easier for the doctor to say, here, you know, take Nexium. You won't have heartburn. And I didn't. I thought that was a good thing. Meanwhile, I was, you know, just destroying my GI. Anyway, so that I was super sick in the fall, and then holidays, and then my New Year's resolution was to do more broadcasts, do more shows. That was, and I wanted to do at least, I think I said at least once a month. Oops, maybe two a month, every other week, and then because I knew I probably wasn't going to be getting one every week, but then. Obviously, that New Year's resolution didn't last because this is my first show, and it's here end of March, and it's my first show of the year. But yeah, so that was my first topic. I kind of wrapped it into what was going on last fall with me, you know, this mass medicine stuff. It's just, it's been interesting. you know, these drug companies get everyone addicted to taking a pill for stuff. I don't buy the protocols or all these protocols. It's just following protocols. Nobody's practicing medicine. It's just, this is a standardized protocol. And that's all funded from drug companies. Tucker Carlson, who's just phenomenal. If you don't watch him, subscribe to him on YouTube and X and stuff. He's just awesome. But Tucker Carlson was interviewing with some drug company insider who's now like whistleblower kind of blowing the, but he brought up an interesting point that all the ad spending that drug companies do, because again, I talked about that. You see these commercials for the AIDS medicine that they can get you undetectable for AIDS, but they can't cure it. Come on. They just want to get you on a pill, on a drug for the rest of your life. They don't want to, because there's more money in it. They don't want to cure anything anymore, because that would take away their revenue stream. So this AIDS medication that they can get you undetectable as long as you keep taking the pill, you're a pill taker then for life. And that's what they want. They want you on a pill for life. And so I don't think that these drug companies want to cure a damn thing. I think they could, but that's why I say I think the golden age of medicine was probably in the 50s and 60s when they actually created a vaccine that cured polio, or not cured, but prevented polio. And maybe like the measles vaccine, but you get away from those. I don't know when it, but at some point it's clear to me that, and again, I don't care to convince anybody else. It is what it is. But that's the conclusion I've come to. And for that reason, I mean, I'm back to, you have to be your own doctor nowadays, because you can't trust doctors. And maybe you find a really good one who, you know, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm going to see a new one on Wednesday, and I'm hoping that, you know, I actually went to look for a guy that he was former military. And so I'm hoping maybe, you know, he's, but who knows? I'm going in skeptical and untrusting, and maybe that wanes, maybe it doesn't, but we'll see. But yeah, Tucker Carlson was interviewing this guy from a drug company who said that all the ad spending that they do, and I wondered this, you see these ads for drugs and you're like, how many people really need that? Like some of these, like for blindness and drugs for people that are blind and all stuff. It's like, well, what are there really enough people to make a television commercial worth it, to spend all that money on a TV commercial for, to drive demand for that drug? And then you realize that, well, not realize, but as Tucker Carlson pointed out on his interview with this, or as the person he was interviewing pointed out, all the ad spending that drug companies do isn't to promote the drug, drive demand. It's to own the networks so they won't report ill of drugs or drug company endeavors. So no one will ask questions about, are all these drugs good for us? Are they, you know, it's to state it differently, you know, get people hooked on your money and you own them. So if the largest spenders of money for whether it's, you know, CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, doesn't matter the pro or the show, whatever, the largest spenders are drug companies. And so they can effectively dictate to drug companies what their, or excuse me, to the drug companies can effectively dictate to the networks. They don't even have to flat out say it, but are you going to sit there and criticize a drug company, or are your news reporters, your investigative reporters going to look into the efficacy of, you know, question these drugs, question these vaccines, question? The answer is no. You're not going to do that, because if you piss off your advertiser, your biggest advertiser, they're going to pull their advertising. And so this person, Tucker Carlson, was interviewing, said, hey, yeah, the reason for all the drug company spending is not to drive demand. It's to own the networks. It's an investment in buying off the networks so that if you're their biggest advertiser, they won't do reports on the horrible things that, and questionable things and all these other ramifications of these drugs that the pharmaceutical companies are peddling. And so that was a pretty interesting, revealing thing for me, and just reinforced that. And it's just a shame, because I truly think that with technology, we could cure cancer. We could life expectancy is shrinking. We're not, all these drugs, all this stuff, life expectancy is not getting longer. It's shortening. And there's many reasons for that, but certainly the drugs aren't helping. And so it's been a rough time to be in this country. But since the election was stolen from Trump in 2020, and then we see all the lawfare against Trump, we see that we've seen tyranny, COVID. I remember in 2019 thinking, man, the economy's humming along. My business is still doing great. My business has been doing fantastic. I can't complain at all about that. But in 2019, my business was growing, and again, still is growing. Thankfully, that's one thing that's gone phenomenal. I mean, my business is doing better now than at any point. And it's just every year, it's been year over year growth. But in 2019, things were in good supply. Gas was cheap. Incomes were rising. The economy was humming. Cities were vibrant. Crime was relatively low. I mean, there was still issues with crime, as there always has been, especially in the big cities, because they don't punish criminals. But crime was nothing compared to what it is now. And then just look at the way this country has gone to shit since 2020, since Trump lost, and with COVID, with all this stuff. And so it's just been depressing. And honestly, it's one of the reasons why, like, I sit here, and the time I spend doing well on radio, I'm like, is this even worth it? Like, and I even feel bad, because, like, I listen to talk radio now, and especially like douchebags like Dan O'Donnell, like I can't, it just nails on a chalkboard. He's been so wrong in so many things, but he thinks he's, you know, so smart and so prescient. And so from that standpoint, I don't want to be like that. So when I think about coming and doing a show, doing a well on radio episode, like I feel guilty, because I don't want to be like one of those pundits. I can't stand pundits. They're so full of shit. But so I say this with just, again, these are my opinions. I'm not really trying to change anyone's mind. If people enjoy hearing my opinions, and see, like Mark Belling, I like hearing Mark Belling's opinions. I think he speaks from a place of knowledge, doesn't bloviate on stuff. He has no, you know, he's just making it up off the cuff. And that's what, like, I saw Dan O'Donnell on WISN did. I mean, he's, you know, after the midterms, Trump's finished, Trump's done. He's just so wrong. But the day before the midterms were supposed to be a red wave, he's like, I predict 3 million voters, a record turnout. And then he's wrong. And he never owns it. I don't want to be like one of those guys who thinks that my opinion is something that everybody should change their mind based upon. It's just my opinion. I don't come to conclusions without a huge amount of thought and analysis and challenging myself of am I correct in my conclusions and that kind of thing. So anyway, it's another reason why it's been difficult for me to muster up the motivation to do more well on radio, because I see pundits on TV like Fox News Sunday. Like, I can't even stand to watch that show anymore. It's just a bunch of freaking liars, bunch of spinsters, even the conservatives, just taking something that happens. And anytime, I've said this before on the show, anytime you see someone saying that they give analysis, what they should say is they take facts, something that actually happened, and make up their reasoning why it happened to convince you to support their policy positions, action, you know, choices, those kinds of things. And so even when I sit here and I see, you know, these people on Fox News Sunday, even the conservatives, and even, again, people like Dan O'Donnell after, like, the midterms saying, oh, this is why turnout. Trump is, you know, this is what they were saying after the 2022 midterms. Trump is a drag on the party. He's just, you know, the party has moved past Trump. These are things they said. They were clearly all wrong with how phenomenal Trump's done in the primary. And people like, oh, you know, there's 40% of the population that's not happy with, or 40% of Republicans can't stand Trump. You don't know that. 40% of Republicans supported someone else, but that doesn't mean they can't stand Trump. But that's what the pundits are telling you. Oh, 40% of Republicans can't stand Trump. No. I mean, it just, again, there's so much spin, so many lies. And that's why it's been hard for me to muster up the motivation to come on Well-Armed Radio. And not that I'm in anywhere close to the level or category of these, you know, even a WISN talk show host. I don't have a fraction of that audience. But I feel like a douchebag trying to be too persuasive. I feel guilty trying to be too persuasive, I guess, is how I should state it. And then I also wonder if it even matters. You know, without free and fair elections, nothing matters, because it doesn't matter if you convince your friends and neighbors and kids and their friends and young people to vote a different way. If elections aren't free and fair, doesn't matter. So yeah, all those things play into this sitting here, but it's a presidential year. Joe Biden is so horrible. I feel like if it's a fair election, Trump wins by a landslide. No question in my mind. I bet every penny I have on it. It won't be a free and fair election, but I feel like Joe Biden is so bad that I don't think they can muster up the fraud in order to win. I just don't think. And I think Joe Biden is so bad that I don't know if they will even bother trying to muster up the fraud to win, because if they expose that, they'd have to cheat so bad that it would be likely to be even more exposed than it has been. And it's been exposed. The vote fraud's been exposed. I mean, look at, I forget if it was either Arizona or Georgia, where there was tens of thousands of ballots that were mail-in ballots. They were never folded. The only way those can be legally cast is folding them and putting them in an envelope. They had all these ballots that were in an audit that showed they were never folded. I mean, tens of thousands. And it was over the margin of error. Or excuse me, over the margin of victory. So it just, that election was stolen. But can they steal another election when Joe Biden is so horrible that the numbers might not even make sense, and they'd have to cheat so bad that it would get exposed, and then even the idiots and the low-information voters would realize, yeah, this election was fraudulent. So just given that it's election year, I'm trying to get my hopes back up for some kind of change in this country and a Trump victory, and we'll see what happens. But so, speaking of which, I did get invited to the Chippewa County Lincoln Day dinner. That was really cool. That was about two, three weeks ago. So I was up in Chippewa Falls. Got invited by Bob Dillon. He's the party chair for that county party. So I went up there, went up on Friday, spoke on Saturday at the Lincoln Day dinner. A lot of other, there was Brian Schimming, who's the state chair of the state GOP, Wisconsin GOP party. There was some legislators, I think Tom Tiffany, he's a legislator from up in that area. He was there. He was speaking. Some state legislators, they were speaking. You know, it was a fun event. It was a cool event. Before I spoke, I was the last person to speak. Before I spoke, there was a state legislator. Her name, I think, was Karen Hurd. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was. And she's up there talking to these. So these are, you know, Chippewa County. It's, you know, you get out state and it's very conservative. You know, you down here, you got, you know, like your Waukesha County Republican Party, conservative ish. A lot of influence from the establishment Republicans, the butt kissing Republicans, and So Karen Hurd is a state legislator up from that area. I think she's a representative. I don't think she's a senator, but I didn't even look her up. But she's speaking before me, and she says, oh, she's talking about how terrible primaries are and how Republicans shouldn't be throwing up primary challengers, how terrible it is. And I thought, you know, isn't that just like an incumbent to say, oh, primaries are terrible? And the thing, I regret that I didn't to get up there when I gave my speech and say, you know, isn't it funny? Karen was still sitting there, and I wish I had said it, but isn't it funny that to have an incumbent tell you not to run a primary? I mean, just the audacity of an incumbent to stand up in front of a group of Republicans and tell them not to, and shame them not to run primaries. How self-serving. And, you know, have you ever heard of a really solid conservative at the state level getting primaried? You know, you got your like Dave Craigs. He would never get primaried. Dave Craigs not legislature anymore. He was senator, but he was a fantastically conservative. The true conservatives, like they don't get primaried. It's the rhinos that get primaried. And so if you don't want to get primaried, be a hard conservative. Don't be a squishy conservative, because squishy conservatives get primaried. So for someone to sit up there, Karen Hurd, this legislature, and oh, don't primary. Primaries are terrible for the party. Yeah, whatever. Maybe they're terrible for incumbents. Well, certainly they're terrible for incumbents. So yeah, that was an interesting event, but it was fun to speak to them. Excuse me. Great country, a beautiful country up there. We made a weekend out of it. And then after I spoke at the dinner, I was headed up to the Chippewa County Forest. Ice Age Trail runs through their Harwood Lake segment and hike with my fiance and the dog, and super cool time, super beautiful country up there. And good people, good rural, hardworking, freedom-loving folks. And other updates, Wisconsin Carry website, it's getting, I say, close. I've seen the initial design. We've gone through the initial design review, have that finalized. So I'm hoping that it's close. I was hoping to have it close before we go out to mail our annual mailing for members, because the way it's going to work with the new website is you're going to be able to log on. You'll get an email when your membership renewal is due. You'll get an email, and you can log in and see when your membership is due, see your membership status, see your membership history, and then some other cool features too. So yeah, I'm hoping that website is done and ready for prime time soon here, before we need to go out for our annual mailing, so that I can put the information there, because somehow I got to get people like, hey, here's how you register into the website. That's something I think I'd like to put, because I'd really love to only have to go out in the mail one more time. And we're probably always going to be, I think there's some guys that, just the type of membership that Wisconsin Carry has, there's guys that aren't going to want to register on a website, and they're always going to want the mail. So might always be going in the mail, but for the most part, it'd be nice to not have, that's a huge expense for us. Everything, you know, most of our money goes to litigation, but every year, I mean, we spend a lot on postage for the annual mailing and printing for the annual mailing and the decals and stuff. So yeah, it's substantial. So that's just a quick update on the Wisconsin Carry website. Next thing I'm going to talk about, because I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to save, I got a couple other topics here, but I'm going to save them for later, is, you know, this conspiracy theory stuff. This gets frustrating for me, and it's because there's come up a couple times, people point out things that you know, they are seeing and hearing, and I say to myself, like, people are trying to interest me in, I don't want to say believing it as well, but bringing things to my attention. Some of it, again, is gun stuff. Some of it's on other topics. And before I respond to my overall thoughts on conspiracy theories, I want to focus in on one to use it as an example. So the Baltimore Harbor thing, ship crashes into the, you know, if you have been living under a rock, you know what happens. Ship crashes into the bridge, knocks down the bridge. I mean, the conspiracy theorists were out within minutes. And the first thing you saw was this video. Here's a video sped up to 8x speed. It shows the ship steering directly into the column. Oh, it's anybody who thinks that. Now, let me first tell you my disposition when Vicki McKenna, who's a very good friend of mine, she even in the morning of it posted something seems funky here. Something doesn't smell right. I saw what happened with the Baltimore Harbor stuff and it raised my eyebrows, but I'm not going to immediately jump to the conspiracy theory. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And then people are like, oh, I mean, some other things. So first, the biggest thing that I've seen from the people that think that it was intentional is the sped up video, speed it up to 8x speed. And it steers directly into the thing. Well, of course the video is going to show it steering directly into the column, because if it didn't steer directly into the column, there would have been no strike and the bridge wouldn't have fallen. There'd be no story. So it's like someone saying, I mean, if you got a video of lightning striking, look, lightning struck exactly right here. Well, yeah, if the lightning wouldn't have struck, nothing would have happened. So is it rare and odd and unusual that the ship could lose power and the trajectory sends it right directly into the thing? Well, yeah, that's things had to line up perfectly for that to, then I said perfectly wrong for that to happen. But I'll have some other thoughts and information on that as well. But just, it was just immediately. And then I had people that I saw on their social medias. Oh, if you believe this was an accident, you're officially stupid or something. I don't remember what officially dumb, officially retarded. It boggles my mind. Now, again, when I saw it, I didn't say it's got to be an accident. And I didn't say, oh, it's got to be intentional. I was like, I wonder, kind of raise my eyebrows. So I kind of start open-minded, 50-50, maybe it is, maybe not. But the problem with people who think everything is a conspiracy theory without any actual basis other than their predisposed inclinations is that I think they make people ignore everything, even those that might actually have basis. See, when you push conspiracy theories reflexively without stuff to really back it up, I think you discredit yourself and you numb people to them. And if you're wrong and the media is right, I mean, guess who people like these low information voters, because see, that's the thing. You say to someone, one of your friends that doesn't really pay attention, oh, you know, this ship thing, there's no way that was accidental. And then in 6 months, they find out that, yeah, it was actually accidental. Then you look like an idiot. And then even you being a conservative dude, people are going to not trust you next time when it is something. Because, again, these people that don't really pay a lot of attention, they're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so was totally wrong on that Baltimore Harbor thing. And I'm not going to – why would I believe them on – something they said about election, something that might actually have basis, you know, about election fraud. So I think it's a disservice and it makes it harder when people on our side of the aisle, conservatives, just throw in with every conspiracy theory, thinking that that's serving the cause, advancing the cause. And I think it's doing the opposite. So now, like specifically with this ship thing, there's people who I saw throwing memes up on their social media, like within an hour, calling it intentional or whatever. And there was no way they had done any actual research. They just wanted to believe that, like to be outraged about something and called it a intentional act, and anybody who doesn't believe it's intentional is an idiot. And they're smart because they can see this stuff clearly. It's intentional. So I spent a couple hours watching YouTube videos of a guy who's, well, 1 hour of a guy who's, he's like a ship maritime guru, part of it, clearly knows his stuff. You can just tell clearly the people who follow his channel are industry folks. longshoremen and stuff, and a type of channel that you can go look at older videos and say, hey, this guy's been doing videos and stuff for a while, and now all of a sudden his video's got a million views because everybody's paying attention to shipping, cargo shipping now. But this guy was, you know, doing videos when only, you know, 10,000 people were watching them, because people that are really into cargo shipping by sea, you know, people that are interested in that industry, maybe the longshoremen that work at the ports. So this guy clearly knows his stuff. So he goes through some things point by point. But also then there's comments on his video, and you can just, again, you read these things and there's some comments on his video, and you can say, hey, that I wouldn't say with 100% bet my life on it, but it's pretty clear some of the people that watch his channel were actually working at the Port of Baltimore, because they're like, oh, that, you know, that ship lost power three times and such, and you're like, okay, these are insiders, people that are like working there. And these longshoremen, again, this isn't like, your Peace Corps folks who are a bunch of libby-loos. These longshoremen, they're hardworking conservative ass ever effers. I mean, some of them are probably union, but even like union folks, the union leadership endorses Democrats, but a lot of union guys, they're hardcore conservatives, gun owners, pro-America, many of them pro-Trump. So, you know, you start watching these videos and people that are actually doing a little bit of research and trying to say, because I go into this thing open-minded. It's like, oh, yeah, that ship, the MV Dolly, it had lost power at the port dock repeatedly, because these ships get plugged into shore power. It was blowing fuses. It was this, it was that. So, you know, that's when you say, oh, well, if this was like a terrorist act or intentional act, why would they be shutting down the power on the ship? If the ship got hacked, why would they hack the ship while it's still at the dock and shut off the power, potentially risking the success of the mission of hacking into the ship and getting it to hit the bridge? And again, why do it at 1:30 a.m. in the morning? I mean, if this was an intentional act, terrorist act, whatever, why not do it at rush hour? So there's a bunch of things that just, you know, don't make a lot of sense for it to be an intentional act. And again, you start reading some of the comments of people that appear to actually, and it's, again, I'm not a naive idiot. You get a pretty good sense that some of these people probably actually worked at that port or are working at that port and insiders. And then some other stuff that this guy shared, and some of this I know because I operate, I mean, I have a yacht, and it's, I spend a lot of time in the Milwaukee Harbor watching ships come in and out, big, huge ships. And I know how difficult they are to maneuver. And even on the smaller scale with boats that I'm familiar with, I understand things like what's called prop walk. And so some people see this ship, well, if the ship was going straight and it lost power, then why would it veer off to the starboard side? That's the right side if you're facing forward on a ship. It has to be intentional. See, because if it just lost power, it would keep going straight. And object of motion tends to stay motion. Again, what people don't realize is there's something called prop walk. And when a boat, and it happens even on small boats, if you're backing up on a boat, the direction that the prop turns, the boat tends to walk that way, because it doesn't just pull you backwards. It wants to pull you to the side. So you have to compensate for it. That's why on a multiple engine, you counter, like my boat has three engines, two of them spin clockwise and one of them spins counterclockwise. If it had four engines, two of them would spin clockwise and two would spin counterclockwise. So you would cancel out that prop walk. But also, as you're going down on a single engine boat going down the river, if you hold the steering wheel perfectly straight, that boat actually sways left and right quite a bit. It's quite noticeable if you've ever put. So why would a ship turn? Because if the ship is starting to turn from prop walk, and then the way that the prop walk works, it boasts kind of like wiggle through the water like a snake, back and forth on a single turn boat. Now, on a large ship, I'm sure they counter steer. See, I do it on a small boat, you counter steer to try to reduce some of that prop walk and keep your line straighter. And if you're, cause, but you have to anticipate it. Again, this is a small boat. So if you want to keep yourself going perfectly straight down the river, right before you know the boat's going to start to prop walk one way, you counter steer against it. And then before the boat actually reacts and starts steering the way you steered, you flip it over and you turn back the other way, and you can counteract the prop walk. Well, think about a big ship. And the amount of torque generated by that huge propeller and the amount of prop walk, they may well have had the rudder dialed in a certain number of degrees just to counteract the prop walk of the boat. And then you lose power. The rudder's still turned, but the engine, the propeller is no longer turning. So you lose that torque and that prop. And again, on a boat that size, the amount of torque is huge. And with the systems all down, you might not have hydraulics for steering. And so the rudder may have been in the position to turn that boat to the right. And so the only reason the boat would stay straight is under power, because then it, so again, now, would I sit here and say, I'm 100% sure it was accidental, by accidental, just negligence or whatever, or, you know, I still wouldn't say that. I'm still going to say, but I think there's plenty of, if I had to bet right now, I'd say it was probably accidental, but I'm not going to tell someone who considers the possibility that it was done on purpose that, oh, you're an idiot. But I'm not going to sit here and take this as an opportunity to try to convince people that, and oh, I saw another one. A friend of mine posted this. He's like, oh, this is what happens when you've got a gay Secretary of Transportation more interested. And it's like, and then the next sentence they said, and the captain of the ship is from Ukraine. Okay, so what is it? Is it Pete Buttigieg's fault, the gay transportation secretary, or is it the fact that the captain of the ship is from Ukraine? Like, pick one. But see, some of these people just, they throw anything out there just to be sensational and to try to cause people to react on a whim instead of with logic, and even conservative folks. So again, I just think it's such a huge disservice. I mean, but here's my bigger point. Well, there's a couple other points I want to make, but I'm going to, another smaller piece here, like example, at first blush, oh, the captain of the ship was Ukrainian. You might've heard that. The captain of the ship was Ukrainian. Again, here's what people don't know, but I do, because I've researched this even long before. I've watched YouTube videos. I'm a boater. I spend a lot of time in ports, shipping ports. Many shipping ports, especially on the coast, there's harbor pilots. I know this because they bring a harbor pilot to get on a ship long before, or not, well, I say long before, you know, before it gets into a port. The harbor pilot, who's a local guy, boards the ship. They bring up a boat alongside the ship, and sometimes it's in rough waters. It's pretty treacherous. Like in calm waters, hey, they throw a rope ladder like down the side of the ship, and these harbor pilots on a small boat get dropped off against one of these huge freighters, and they climb up sometimes a rope ladder to get into a little hatch, and then they go up, and these local harbor pilots that know the local currents and the local depths and the shallow spots and where they supervise and or direct the boats when they're inside of the harbors. So it's not like the captain of the boat being Ukrainian that he's calling the shots. There's a harbor pilot almost assuredly in. Now, again, I don't say for sure because I haven't had firsthand knowledge that there was a harbor pilot in that, but I know most of the time there's a harbor pilot on the bridge of these big ships. So there's just plenty of reason to believe that, yeah, this very well could have just been accidental. Not everything is a conspiracy theory. Not everything is a conspiracy. So it's fine to raise your eyebrows and go, huh. But to jump to conclusions and say, oh, it's got to be, you're an idiot if you don't, I mean, you make people not trust you. You diminish your credibility. And here's the bigger thing. And I say this to people when people bring up like some, oh, you know, they're giving illegal aliens guns and they're this. Freedom is being stolen right in front of our faces. The southern border is wide open. No one would dispute that. Everybody knows how horrible that is for this country. The things that you need to prove to people that they should change the way they vote, vote for Trump, vote for conservative Republicans. It's all right out there. Freedom is being stolen in plain sight on public television, on the news, every single day. And 50% of the country doesn't give a fuck. Or 50% of the country isn't even paying enough attention to that. Why would you try to convince someone that with the intention of getting them to wake up and, you know, vote? Because, I mean, assuming this has got to be about vote, if you want to make a change in this country, it's going to have to be, it's going to be done at the ballot box. So if you want to get people to vote differently, why would you go start citing conspiracy theories about, oh, see this ship, this, they're lying to you. That was done on purpose. If you want to convince someone to vote for Republican, turn on the TV and show them people storming over the border. Because nobody disputes that that's happening. It's happening. Democrats acknowledge it. Republicans obviously do as well. If you want to convince people that Biden's policies were bad, point out that inflation was a result of policies. If you want to point out that Democrats are playing lawfare against Trump, the audacity of the judges in Colorado to pull Trump off the ballot. Now, that got overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. But that's incredible in and of itself, that these lib judges from the Colorado Supreme Court would even be willing to. I mean, sure, they hate Trump, but 10 years ago, they wouldn't have dared pull someone, a major leading presidential candidate, off a ballot. They'd have been too afraid of public and media scorn for doing something so incredibly fascist and totalitarian. But now, four of seven Libby judges from that Colorado Supreme Court were willing to do some blatant totalitarian shit for the world to see with no reservations about it. I mean, that's scary. That tells me it's one of two things. Either the libs think they already have full control and it doesn't matter what the electorate thinks. They think they're on the verge of the electorate taking the country back and it's a last ditch effort to present that. I pray it's the latter. But again, back to my point, with all the stuff that's going on that's undisputed, men pretending to be women and dominating women's sports. Nobody disputes that's happening. It's happening right in front of people's faces, and the Democrats support it, and they celebrate it. Transgenders being stuck in women's bathrooms in high schools and raping students, male students being allowed to use women's bathroom because they're, quote, transgender, and then raping a student. Fully documented that happened. All the crime that's happening from illegal immigrants, fully documented that it happened. Illegal immigrants shouldn't be here murdering people. You know, the Lake and Riley from Georgia. All these things that are undisputed, right? And why would you want to go point to some conspiracy theory and see, wake up people, look at this, these unproven conspiracy theories? And again, I'm not even saying conspiracy theory is a pejorative. I mean, many of them might be true. There are certainly during COVID things that were called a conspiracy theory turned out to be true. So I don't throw conspiracy theory out there to discredit anything. I'm just saying conspiracy. I mean, a conspiracy is a conspiracy. A theory means something that you think, but isn't proven. I don't even think conspiracy theory is a pejorative term. Some people seem to think, oh, don't call me a conspiracy theorist. It's more, well, why be afraid of that label? But again, if the point here is to get people to wake up, vote differently, save the country, you don't need to convince them that they're putting chemicals, that the planes are shooting chemicals all over us, and they're poisoning our water with fluoride, and there's a big pedophile ring running the world. I mean, again, all those things may be true, but they're very difficult to prove. All you have to do is point to things that are undisputed. They're on the news every night. Crime. You can point to a bajillion examples of crime and how criminals aren't being punished. You can point to what's happening in California, the result of that, what's happening in New York City. And these are undisputed. No one's disputing these things. And that's all you need to do. You don't need to convince someone that the getting steered into the bridge in Baltimore was on purpose. To have all the evidence, ammo you need to convince someone to vote differently. Look at what you're paying for. Look at what you're paying for gas. Look at what you're paying when Trump was president. Look at what Joe Biden has done to all these things. The border. Joe Biden was on the presidential debate saying that they should surge the border if he wins. And now they're surging the border. I mean, again, you don't have to try to convince people of some wild, hard to prove conspiracy theories. Again, no offense to conspiracy theories. All you got to do is point to what's happening right in front of their face and draw the very easy connect the dots of, look, Joe Biden says surge the border. They're surging the border. Joe Biden on his first day of office changes executive orders for the border. And we've got all these problems. Joe Biden spends all this money for the America Rescue Care Act or whatever it is. Inflation spikes. You don't need to go running down to these conspiracy theories to try to shake people awake, because I think you just do the opposite. When you're pointing to these conspiracy theories, all you're doing is turning people off because you can't substantiate them. And they may be right. The ship in Baltimore may have been hacked, may have been intentional. I watched another video of a guy who is pushing the conspiracy theories. I got to sneeze here. And he's like, oh, you know, and he starts pointing to things that are easily. And again, I'm still not saying that it wasn't hacked. The guy who I was talking about earlier that I watched his YouTube video, who was a shipping expert, he didn't even say that it couldn't have been intentional, because he talks about that when he was interviewing one guy. He's like, yeah, could there have been a virus that was planted on the steering computers a thing? I mean, it's possible. I think that's going to be unlikely, but we'll find out if it was. It'll come to light. So they weren't like casting off the possibility that maybe it was, but it just, you know, again, it seems very, very unlikely. The guy who has pushed the conspiracy theories, he's got it's another video on YouTube, and this guy's, it's got almost 1 million views, and there's got that eerie music playing, and the guy's talking in a deep voice, and he's very dramatic, and it's so over-dramatized, and people think, but then he's like, and look at here, where the bridge explodes in three places, and I'm watching that video, I'm like, the bridge does not explode. That said, when you bust apart pavement that quick, yeah, there's going to be puffs of dust and debris because you're busting apart, you're splitting open a paved road. I mean, crack a potato chip in half, and if you look at it, I mean, you could probably see it when you do it, but crack a potato chip in half and you can see the little flakes of the potato chip flying up in the air. Do it in slow motion with a camera up close, and you'd see a bunch of pieces of salt flying in the air when you crack a potato chip. Now do that on the scale of a road, of a huge bridge with 2 feet thick of, you know, concrete, and then a couple lifts of wear coat pavement on top of the concrete for repaving purposes over several years, because that's what they do. You originally put down concrete, and then when the road gets rough, you pave over it, you put a paving layer over the top of it, and all of a sudden that's why you see some roads where the curbs are gone, because they put so many layers of asphalt on top of asphalt. There's sucks up the curb. There's no more curb because you've got what used to be 3 inches of asphalt or 6 inches of asphalt. Now there's 10 inches of asphalt. So yeah, when that busts open, there's going to be debris flying in the air, you know, pulverized concrete getting shoved up in the air. It's not an explosion. But this guy's just, you know, pushing that. And so, I mean, I've watched both sides. I've watched I shouldn't even say both sides. I watched a shipping expert, and then I've watched the conspiracy theory guy. The shipping expert wasn't saying it wasn't intentional. The conspiracy theory guy is just saying it was intentional. You're a fool to, you know, I watched them all. I'm now probably 85-15 that it was, I think 85% it was, again, accident slash negligence slash not a targeted planned event. But I still leave open that 15% possibility. I'm not going to shut my mind off to it because it's not proven yet. There's plenty more things to investigate. But the conspiracy theorist, no, you're a fool if you don't believe that. You're a fool if you think this was accidental. You notice the difference there? Like, I'm not the one who's telling people that they're fools if they suspect that I'm not telling them that you're a fool if you're open to the possibility that that bridge collision was done intentionally. I think, as I've researched it, the odds are against it. But the people who believe that it was intentional are telling people who don't buy into that they're idiots, because I've seen them do it on social media. So yeah, again, whether it's the Baltimore Harbor or chemtrails I think it's very interesting, did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself or not? Like, I think almost certainly he didn't, but I don't need to point to the Jeffrey Epstein quote suicide to try to convince people to vote Republican. Or that there's a big, you know, so many things that I can point to on the news every night to convince people all they need to know to vote differently, that we need a change in this country, and you don't need to run to conspiracy theories to do it. So why would I waste my time talking? I mean, I use this as an example, but whether it's illegal immigrants, oh, they're giving illegal immigrants guns. Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent a ton of time researching, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time researching that, because the things I need to convince people of to vote differently so that we can make a change in this country are so much easier to demonstrate with things that are happening on the nightly news. I don't need to go tell them about some tip that I got, or like, oh, you know, someone, a friend of a friend said that, oh, this is happening here. And like, no, I can point to the evening news on a variety of topics and have everything I need to convince someone that they should be voting differently. And it's undisputed. And the Democrats won't even dispute that their policies are opposite of what I would be saying to someone. So yeah, I used that Baltimore Harbor as an example, but it goes for other things too. All kinds of other things. And that's why when people try to, you know, get me interested in doing a topic on some of these. Again, I it's not a pejorative. Some of these conspiracy theories, I got better things to do with my time because freedom is being stolen right in front of our faces. Look at COVID. Look what they did during COVID. Freedom was stolen right in front of our faces, and people were okay with it. People participated in it. People were calling the cops on their neighbors who had parties during COVID. I mean, you want to talk about a problem. The problem is people like that. And I would point that out to people. Look, you called the cops on your neighbor. You were on social media criticizing people for not wearing a mask. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the masks don't do a damn thing. I mean, COVID proved to me that the enemy isn't even necessarily the government. The enemy is – or the all they got to do is scare people, and people will give up their freedoms like no tomorrow, because even half of all the Democrats and half of Republicans were ready to bend over, throw on a mask, believe that the way to get through COVID was to isolate yourselves and quarantine everybody for, you know, it was insane. Because from the word go, and you can go back and watch the old programs, from the word go, I said, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't treat this anything different than the flu. When we were kids, Jesus, we had chickenpox parties. One kid got chickenpox. You send friends over to play with them, so everybody got chickenpox. Get it over with. And now we can't even have people get a little young people get a little bit of a flu, and we got to shut down schools. It was insane, and half the Republicans went along with it. So freedom has been stolen right in front of people's faces. You don't need to convince people about conspiracy theories to get them to wake up. Just point the stuff right in front of their face. Anyway, don't want to belabor that point too much. So otherwise, it's been a good winter. Did a ton of hiking. If anybody is really into hiking, you should. So because I'm banned from Fascist Book, I have an Instagram page. I like to share my hikes. We do so much hiking. I scout these hikes. I scour because we've hiked, you know, if you're just getting into hiking, okay, you can go to the Ice Age Trail. Ice Age Trail has a website. They have a trail map. Ice Age Trail has all kinds of places you can go hike, and they're really nice. The Ice Age Trail is pretty cool. We've gotten bored of the Ice Age Trail. First, we've done it all. We've done the whole Ice Age from like west of Janesville over by like, there's plenty of sections we haven't done, but I mean, we've done a couple hundred miles of the Ice Age, and the Ice Age gets a little bit boring after a while. You know, some parts are more interesting than others. I mean, the Ice Age Trail goes through like Gibraltar Rock, goes through Devil's Lake, very interesting places, but even those very highly traveled. You want to see some interesting stuff. I mean, I've hiked some places. The views would blow your mind. Lone Rock out in Quincy Bluffs, just unbelievable views. Not part of the Ice Age Trail, just some logging roads and some other trails to get you out there. And this past weekend, we were hiking Camel Bluff. And then near that, this is part of the Mill Bluff State Natural Area. And as part of Mill Bluff State Natural Area, there's Camel Bluff and Long Bluff. We hiked those this weekend. Just unbelievable. Long Bluff, to get there, there's no trails, no paths. I just looking at GIS maps and looking at topographical maps said, hey, this is – oh, and driving by. We were driving by on the way back from Chippewa Falls, and I saw to the way off in the horizon to the north of the interstate up by – kind of by Mauston just before – some cool bluffs and just sticking out. And I was like, man, I wonder what those are. I looked on Google Maps and, oh, one's called Camel Bluff. Start researching, looking at other topographical maps of other bluffs in the area, figuring out which ones were on state land, which ones were private, which ones. And so this one, we hiked down an abandoned railroad. There's an easement for the railroad. And then the bluff itself is part of the state natural area. There's no trails. We walked up to the base of the bluff, and then there's 100-foot sheer cliff, walk around this bluff. It's a long bluff, and found a way to get up. And it was just super cool. I mean, no trail, no path, just found a way to get up to the top of this thing. And that's the kind of hikes I like, because they're off the beaten path, not the run-of-the-mill Ice Age Trail type thing. And again, the Ice Age Trail is cool. And if you're just getting into hiking, give it a shot. There's a Ice Age Trail handbook and talks about all the sections. But if you've done a lot of hiking on the Ice Age, or if you just like something you've done a little bit on the Ice Age and you find it kind of boring, I don't want to diss the Ice Age, but it does get monotonous after a while. It's a lot of it looks like the rest of it. I mean, there's some real interesting spots, but there's other spots where same thing, different zip code, but you're walking through winding path through deciduous forest. Here's a little opening, here's a meadow, here's a versus like where we go hiking, 200-foot cliff with a view for 3 miles, scenic view. It's just cool stuff. So anyway, surf_n_turf on Instagram if you're interested in following that. Again, surf_n_turf. I put up some great reviews of these cool places we go hiking, hidden waterfalls, stuff that you'd have to really, really scrounge and search hard to find some of these cool places. And we'll be right back. I need to hear from you. I don't like talking to myself. So have a great night. Carry on. Have a great week. Be well armed.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?